Want to remind you, too, if you're an unhappy timeshare owner, you went on a vacation, you're having the time of your life, somebody says you can duplicate this every year for the rest of your life, and then you never end up going back. And then you realize, there are other nice places I could go to, and I could better use that money, but every year you got to pay the maintenance fees and whatever other fees associated with it. You wish you never did it. Well, there's a way out, thanks to my friends at Lone Star Transfer, Brian and Karen. They run a family-owned business. They will make sure that your experience is a pleasant one. They will get you out of your timeshare legally, ethically, and quickly. I have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, and this is what they do. Don't let another year go by and you're paying all this money for a timeshare you're never going to use. Now, two ways to get them. Online at LoneStarTransfer.com, all right? Or give my friends a call, no obligation. Call #250 on your mobile, keyword timeshare. Just hit #250 on your mobile phone, say the keyword timeshare, or just go to LoneStarTransfer.com.
Yesterday, we announced that the numbers of apprehension at our southern border have spiked again substantially. Since last year, we have been seeing 50 to 60,000 migrants arrive at our southern border each month. But in February, we saw a 30% jump over the previous month, with agents apprehending or encountering nearly 75,000 aliens. And at the current pace, we are on track to encounter close to 1 million illegal aliens at our southern border this year. The children are being used as pawns to get into our country. We have encountered recycling rings where innocent young people are used multiple times to help aliens gain illegal entry. As a nation, we simply cannot stand for this. We must fix the system. No rational person would design an immigration system like we have today. It's dangerous for Americans, it's dangerous for migrants, it undermines our nation's values, and it fails to uphold our fundamental obligations to the American people.
All right, that was Secretary of Homeland Security Kirstjen Nielsen saying the situation at the southern border is dangerous and growing worse. It is not a manufactured crisis. Senator Graham joins us now from the great state of South Carolina.
Well, thanks for having me. The DHS, Secretary Nielsen, and the Border Patrol Commissioner made a compelling case that things are getting worse across the board. 335% increase in families apprehended compared to last year, 54% increase in unaccompanied minors. It cost us $136,000 a year to house an unaccompanied minor. Our law is such that only 2% of the unaccompanied minors captured, apprehended, ever go back to their home country. We're screaming to the world, if you can get to America as a family or an unaccompanied minor, you never leave. And we're approaching 700,000 illegal crossings this year.
I mean, that's almost twice of what we had last year. It's on pace. Do you think in part it's because it's interesting. I mean, when Nikki Haley left and she said she had the authority to tell certain countries certain things that Donald Trump will do, there was power behind what she said because they believed Donald Trump. They think he's a man of his word. I'm assuming people in these countries are now saying, uh-oh, this guy's building the wall. The door's about to be closed. Let's get there sooner than later.
But it's not that. A lot of them show up to the port of entry and claim asylum. 20% of the people who claim asylum actually receive asylum. So 87% of the illegal crossings in this country happen in between ports of entry. That's why you need a wall. 20% of the drugs now are coming outside the port of entries. That's why you need a wall. But if you had to pick between a wall and changing our laws, the Border Patrol said that our laws that require us to release people into the country before they're adjudicated is the biggest magnet to illegal immigration. So if you're an unaccompanied minor, under American law, we can only hold you for 20 days. We then turn you over to Labor HHS, and 2% of the people we turn over ever leave the country. If you're a family, you get captured as a family. Under our law, we can only hold you for a 20-day period, and most of the families are released into the United States through an NGO or taken to a bus terminal. That's why they're flooding the country.
Well, if we don't get it done now, I don't know when we're ever going to get it done. You don't see – now, the president will veto – This bill that would stop the use of emergency declaration, you don't see any way that the House and Senate would override that veto, do you?
No, so the president's going to win in Congress, and I think he'll win in court. There's a statute that allows a president to declare an emergency and move money out of the military construction budget to meet that emergency. After today, if you don't believe we have a crisis on the national, on the southern border, you're just blind to the crisis. So moving the money around from one account to another is allowed by the statute. I think the president's going to win on court. In court, he's going to have his veto sustained. He will get the money to build the wall. But what did I learn today? If you don't change our asylum laws, if you don't change the Flores decision that limits detaining people to 20 days, you'll never fix this problem.
Let me give people the statutory, the statute, the legislative authority that is given to the president. 10 U.S.C. 284 B7. I think is the best candidate of all of them. Mike Lee was the first person to point it out to me. And when you get to 7B, it says types of support for agencies of the U.S., the purposes for which the secretary may provide support under subsection A for other department agencies or the federal government or state, local, or tribal law enforcement agency, the following: construction of roads, fences, and installation of lighting to block drug smuggling corridors across the international boundaries of the United States. Now, the cross-reference, subsection A, says, you know, that the president has the right to build the barrier. So, legislatively, constitutionally, I think it's pretty clear.
Okay, so this is important. I'm glad people listen to your show. That statute allows you to move money around in the Department of Defense budgets to build barriers if you need it, up to $4 billion. The point that the president's making is that when you look at the needs, that's not enough. There's another statute that allows the president to declare a national emergency and move money around in the military construction budget to whatever that national emergency is. That's where Mike Lee and others say, wait a minute, the Congress did not appropriate money in the military construction budget for a wall. You can't take it and turn it into that use under the emergency authority granted by the statute. I disagree. I think he can. I think he will. I think he's going to win in court.
Yeah, I think so, too. So what's the vote going to be? So the president vetoes the override. I probably would be stopped in the House, correct?
Yeah, well, he's already won in the House. You got 245 votes. You need 285. You really need 290 if everybody's present. But based on the vote, you needed 285. There were 40 votes short. We're not going to get anywhere near 67 votes disapproving the emergency declaration. So he's going to win in both houses of Congress. And when it goes to court, what the president will say, wait a minute, Congress did act. They disapproved the resolution. I vetoed it, and the Congress sustained my veto. That's acting. I think he's going to win across the board.
All right, so let's talk about the what is now happening in the House. You worked there way back in the day, once upon a time.
Yeah.
And I've never seen a situation emerge like this where not only what the Democrats are proposing and 100 of them are supporting is a prescription for absolute economic disaster beyond even a depression, which would be to eliminate oil and gas, the lifeblood of our economy, and with that, the combustion engine, and with that, we're going to get rid of airplanes and cows, and we're going to force every American to rebuild their home, and we're all going to have the same insurance, and nobody can have private health insurance, but it's guaranteed, just like you're guaranteed a job and a vacation and family leave and medical leave, and just like you're guaranteed health care, and just like you're guaranteed retirement, and now with the wealth tax of Elizabeth Warren, we'll add daycare to the list. Between that and the announcement of endless, nonstop, you know, the widest net fishing expedition ever in the history of Congress, are they abusing their powers?
Well, the policy positions are not abusing power. It's just really stupid. CBO says the Green Deal, new Green Deal, would cost $93 trillion to implement. That will completely bankrupt the country. We don't have that much money. It's $600,000 per person. Medicare for all eventually means Medicare for nobody. Bernie's going to invite 80 million of his closest friends to join you when you get into Medicare who've never paid into the system fully. So these are really bad policy choices. In terms of abusing power, what Nadler's doing, in my view, is trying to get an outcome that was predetermined before the election.
Well, you already said, well, we know the president obstructed justice. It's not right. An investigation. He already has the conclusion. Right.
Yeah. They determined after they got the House back that this guy's got to go. So you got a billionaire, Steinert, whatever the guy's name, is spending money right and left against any Democrat who fails to vote against impeachment. So what Nadler's done is created a political goal, which is to impeach the president, and he's in search of trying to find facts to support that goal. They have determined that they're going to try to destroy Donald Trump and his family. They're not going to work with him on infrastructure or prescription drugs. They've determined to change America into a socialist country. Other than that, they should do very well in 2020.
Who do you think emerges? Because if you take the cheating of Hillary Clinton out of the 2016 primary, Bernie Sanders would have won that nomination.
Right.
So does that mean the base of the Democratic Party today is the one I describe as radical, extreme, democratic socialist?
Well, you got Hickenlooper saying I'm an extreme moderate, so there's some people pushing back. I'm dying to see what moderate looks like. We know what Medicare for All would do to Medicare. It would destroy it. It would collapse private health care, and you'd have whatever the government gives you when they choose to give it to you. The new Green Deal would destroy the economy in perpetuity. I'm curious to see what Hickenlooper would do. What is a moderate version of these policies? I know what Trump's going to do. He's going to take your health care dollars, block grant them back to the state so people close to you can make decisions, and if you don't like it, can vote for him. I know what he's going to do with your taxes. He's going to lower the tax code to make it competitive. I know what he's going to do to the military. He's going to rebuild it. I know what he's going to do to the terrorists. He's going to kill them. I know what he's going to do to Supreme Court. He's going to make it more conservative. So I like the contrast.
Well, let's talk about the Mueller report, which we keep hearing could be coming out any day. Nobody even knows if it does come out, if it's ever going to be released to the public. We have hints by Rod Rosenstein that it is not the big blockbuster collusion conclusion that everybody's been feeding us for 2 years. And I think what I'm being told that there is now a real effort to hit the reset button and all of the abuses of power within the Justice Department and the FBI among the upper echelon are going to be investigated. There are going to be indictments. We still are awaiting Horowitz's report, the Inspector General's report, and John Huber's report. And what do you expect as it relates to Mueller and, you know, this two-year witch hunt?
Let's unpack that. So the collusion is really conspiracy. The question is, was there a conspiracy between the Trump campaign, the president, and foreign intelligence services or agencies to benefit from the theft of the DNC emails? The reason I feel confident there's not is no one's been charged with a conspiracy. The people that would be in position to conspire with the Russians, Manafort, other folks like that, have all been charged with crimes outside of conspiracy, unrelated working with the Russians. So if nobody's been charged with a conspiracy, it's pretty hard for me to believe there is one.
Smoking is not about politics. It's about people. There are 34 million Americans that smoke. But for me, Juul was a game changer because you switch to Juul, it's simple, it's satisfying, and no more smell. I watch people all the time. They run outside in the freezing cold. It can be grabbing their cigarette. Well, with Juul, you'll take a quick puff and you're good. That's it. Now, Juul is designed with smokers in mind. From its form to technology, it's easy to use, no buttons, no switches. And the goal of Juul is to impact the lives of adult smokers by providing a satisfying alternative. Switch to Juul. You'll wish you had done it a long time ago. To discover the smoking alternative that is nothing like any e-cig vape you have ever tried, go to this website, juul.com/switchamerica. That's juul.com/switchamerica. Warning, this product contains nicotine, and nicotine is an addictive chemical. juul.com/switchamerica. As we continue with Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, now we've got to get to the bottom of something that you've looked into more deeply, and that is, how is it possible to conspire? We now know that every single high-ranking FBI and DOJ official was warned about the phony dossier. And even its author now has said, I have no idea if any of it's true. It's raw intelligence under the threat of perjury. So Hillary funnels money to a law firm. to a op research group, hire a foreign national. They get a Russian group of papers dossier. That dossier is then used as the bulk of information to apply for FISA warrants to get into the Trump campaign via backdoor with Carter Page, and also disseminating the information to influence the American vote. It's filled with Russian lies. Now,
right.
they don't tell the court that they never verified it, because if they had, they wouldn't have been able to. All they would have had to do is talk to its author, and the author can't stand by it. The second thing, Hillary paid for it. They withheld that exculpatory information or I think damning information, if they wanted to obtain the warrant, from the application. Does that mean they conspired to commit a fraud on the court and deny a fellow American his constitutional rights for political purposes and to influence an election?
That's the perfect question. And you did a good job of going through the fact pattern. One thing you left out is that Bruce Orr, whose wife worked at Fusion GPS, who helped prepare the dossier, told McCabe and others that Steele is not a reliable person. He has a political agenda. He's out to get the president. He's very politically motivated. So they were put on notice that the author of the dossier actually had a bias against the president by one of their own in the Department of Justice. So the question for me, and really for the country, is how could this happen? How could you get a dossier prepared by a foreign agent, paid for by a political party, used to get a warrant on an American citizen four different occasions that's still unverified to this day? How could that possibly happen? And did they conspire for it to happen knowing that it was unreliable because they hated Trump? This is what Barr will look at. This is what Horowitz is looking at. And this is what I will look at.
And so you are going to connect. Does that also include going back to Hillary Clinton?
Well, you go back to the to the server and to the email investigation, because the people in charge of that, if they really wanted to help her and get Trump, my question has always been, you could never indict her if your goal was to beat Trump. So
you're right.
They look for ways to make sure she wouldn't get indicted.
Well, I got to run.
She was indicted.
They rigged that investigation, even the general counsel, James Baker.
Yeah, because they wanted a political outcome. If your goal is to
I got
to
go. I'm out of time. Senator, you're the best. Thanks for being with us, and we'll see you on TV soon. Thank you. All right, 25 now until the top of the hour. Glad you're with us. Hannity tonight, 9 Eastern, on the Fox News Channel. Democrats now giving in to the most radical elements in their party, the same party that has now made a decision that there is nothing they plan on doing for the next 2 years, as they have now empowered 8 separate committees to go after Donald Trump on every aspect of his life. Now, they don't have anything. The general feeling is zero evidence of any collusion of any type. So, okay, that narrative has fallen apart. We spent 2 years lying to the American people and pushing conspiracy theories onto the American people. Now that that's not working, rather than apologize and admit that we were wrong the whole time and we reported many, many things in the course of this 2 year period that were false, you know, maybe we should look at the real corruption, the phony dossier, the rigged investigation, where even the general counsel under James Comey, James Baker, wanted to indict Hillary Clinton, but that would have meant their favorite candidate wouldn't have made it till November as the opponent of Donald Trump in 2016. Maybe lying to FISA courts in a conspiracy to commit fraud on the court to deny a fellow American their constitutional rights. And then, of course, using the propaganda and a phony bought and paid for Russian dossier. That's pretty interesting. It's also interesting the head of the committee investigating so-called Russia collusion is not willing to accept the findings of Robert Mueller. But he himself, as chairman, Adam Schiff, is on an audio call with someone that he believes is a Russian, actually is a Russian, but it was a hoaxer. And he is conspiring to get and dig up dirt on Donald Trump. The very bad thing that he's supposedly investigating happening in 2016. I don't know. I've never seen a wider net cast. It's like, okay, let's just look at everything and hope something sticks, because we don't like the results of the election. Laura Trump is with us. She is, I guess you're the chairman, right, of Re-Elect Trump 2020, Keep America Great?
Well, I am the senior advisor to the Donald J. Trump for President campaign for 2020, and it's great to be on with you, Sean. But, you're exactly right. This is all about people still being upset that Hillary Clinton did not win and did not become the president of the United States. It is so outlandish what we have seen happen. And I can tell you, as a family and as someone who was involved in the campaign in 2016, we have been saying from the beginning, Sean, this is crazy. There was no collusion with Russia. We were so proud of how grassroots our campaign was in 2016. We were like the little engine that could, because nobody believed in us, but we knew we had the American people behind us. And it is so appalling what we have seen happen. And even though Michael Cohen himself, who was supposed to be the smoking gun for the Democrats, came out and said there was no Russian collusion, the Mueller report's going to show that. They're still trying to find anything they can. And it's so shocking. I still can't believe it.
You know, let's start at the beginning, though, because, you know, there was an effort. We now know, because of real investigative work, we know that James Comey and Peter Strzok were writing Hillary's exoneration long before they ever interviewed her or interviewed any of the witnesses involved. We know that Comey's general counsel believed, yeah, she should have been indicted for violating the Espionage Act, as so many of us have been pointing out. Certainly the strongest case of obstruction, with not handing over subpoenaed emails and then erasing everything with bleach bit and hammers. But more importantly, there is some Russia collusion here. And that is the funneled money through a law firm to hire Fusion GPS to hire Christopher Steele. Now, the FBI is saying that they verified what was in the dossier. Andrew McCabe said it, that he's comfortable with the amount of verification that took place. But the problem with that, Laura, is how could he possibly verify that which the dossier author, Christopher Steele, doesn't believe himself? And now things have been proven false again and again. So they used Hillary's bought and paid for Russian lies, first to leak to the public before the election, then to bludgeon your father-in-law after the election. And when are these people going to get held accountable?
I mean, the double standard and the hypocrisy is so crazy. And there's the Russian collusion. And I know you say it on your show all the time, Sean. There was Russian collusion. It was on behalf of Hillary Clinton's campaign and this dossier and all of these things. And can you imagine, by the way, if Donald Trump were the one who destroyed 30,000 emails and after he was told not to touch them, could you imagine what they would do to him? That is a real problem. That is breaking the law. That actually happened and was admitted by Hillary Clinton, and yet no repercussions whatsoever to be felt by her at all. I don't understand how people can look at this objectively and not see what's going on here. And I always wonder, when history reflects back on this time, how crazy are these Democrats going to look? Because history really is where everything gets sorted out. And I always say, when history reflects on Donald Trump, he'll go down as the greatest president this country has ever had, and at least one of them. And he's going to be exonerated, and our whole family will be exonerated, although, you know, God knows they lie about all of us all the time. But when you look back on these things now, several years out, it already smells so bad, and it's obviously a huge problem and a huge miss, and clearly somebody needs to pay for this. Someone needs to answer for these things, but no one is there to do it. No one is even trying to have these answers given, because they're all too focused on finding anything to take down the president. So now they've gone out and sent out more subpoenas. They're looking for anything. I mean, when is this going to stop? We have the answer to the Russian collusion narrative that they tried to push for so long. And because that didn't work, now they're going to look for any and everything they can. It's disgusting. And, you know, unfortunately, this is the kind of thing that's going to deter good people from running for president one day.
Who would ever want to do this? Who would ever want to put their family through this? I mean, just look at the things that have been said about you, about Ivanka, about Melania. Even they've attacked the president's youngest son, Barron, who was 10, 11. They're attacking a little kid repeatedly. And then it's just 24/7. I mean, here's a perfect example. So the night in prime time on two cable networks, obviously not Fox. So the president has a historic summit during prime time. That meaning 8 to 11 is considered prime time in cable news and in news in TV in general. And combined, two networks spent 12 minutes, that's it, on the historic summit. and nearly 500 minutes in covering Michael Cohen. That's what they prioritize, just as all of them have been wrong about Trump-Russia collusion from the beginning. And instead of admitting it, getting better, acknowledging it, they just go right on to the next conspiracy theory, whatever it is that Jerry Nadler and Adam Schiff are going to cook up in their committees.
And guess what they gave zero time to? Absolutely no network reported on the infanticide situation that we have going on in this country. The fact that there are politicians and states around this country that want to have a child born and then do nothing for it to keep it alive if a mom was going to abort the baby.
Now, this is what the governor of Virginia said.
If a mother is in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen. The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mother.
That's called murder. That's infanticide.
It's disgusting, and it's so crazy that we're even having a conversation about this. Let's not forget, by the way, this man that said those things is also the one that was found with someone in a KKK uniform in blackface and is still the governor of Virginia right now. Because as you pointed out opening this segment, when it comes to anti-Semitism, when it comes to racism of any kind, the Democrats are complete hypocrites. Nobody's done anything about this guy. He's still the governor of Virginia. I don't even know what's going on. How is this possible? It's crazy.
Or the lieutenant governor. Now, remember how they reacted with Judge Kavanaugh and, you know, apparently, you know, allegations from when he's in high school, you go back 30, 40 years, whatever it happened to be. And here we have a sitting governor that is being charged with rape and sexual assault. And I don't hear one of the people that said, I believe, in terms of the women with Kavanaugh, nobody's saying, I believe the women making allegations against the lieutenant governor. And the rape victim in particular told people at the time that have come out and corroborated it was told at the time. Something missing in the Kavanaugh hearings.
Yeah, but this is the standard on the left. They are all talk and no action, and they love to hear themselves talk. But when it comes down to things that really matter, you know, if any of these people who are so big on the Me Too movement wanted to sit down and talk about things at our southern border, one in three women who try to cross our southern border are raped and sexually assaulted. Where are those people out there? Where are the feminists championing trying to fix our problem at our southern border? Why hasn't that come up? But the problem is they don't really care. These are all sound bites for them. It's all things that sound good and make people feel good, but at the end of the day, they don't care and they do nothing because they're power hungry, and all they care about is keeping the Democrat Party in power no matter how many people it hurts, and that's the bottom line.
You know, at different times I've hired Joe DeGenova and Victoria Tunsing. If you're in the public eye, you need lawyers to work for you a lot of times, and they're two of the smartest, brightest, toughest people that I know. And Joe DeGenova said the other day, he goes, you know what? Any of these 80-some-odd people that are going to be called in for this fishing expedition, I mean, it's such a wide net now they cast. They want tax returns. They want every bit of information on any charitable group that the Trumps have ever been a part of. They want to investigate, I don't know, maybe what Donald Trump said when he was 6 years old. And DeGenova said, you know what? Everybody should just plead the fifth and not participate. And because it's like McCarthyism now. This is modern day, you know, are you or have you ever been a supporter of Donald Trump? Because if you like the president, and by the way, his successful policies, the 5.5 million new jobs, we're now energy independent, North Korea not firing rockets, he's going to get the wall built as we now, Congress won't be able to override his veto, so he'll have the monies to build it or continue to build it. I like all the success. I like the economic records for a lot of Americans that were left behind in the Obama years, African Americans, Asian Americans, Hispanic Americans, women in the workplace. I like that happening. I'm not sick of winning at all.
Well, I'm not sick of winning either, and neither is the country. But what you see them doing with these crazy subpoenas they sent out, actually, they sent one to my husband and asked him for a record of all of his conversations with, wait for it, Sean, Vladimir Putin, who Eric has never met, has never spoken to, has never had any contact with, but they're looking for any and everything. And DeGeneva is 100% right. No one should be talking to these people because all they care about is getting people to perjure themselves. They want to send people to jail. They don't care why. They want you to perjure yourself on the stand in some way. They want you to trip up and slip up.
Well, I actually have evidence of Russian collusion.
Yeah,
well, we know about Hillary, but no, I've got audio evidence. This is Adam Schiff talking to Russians, conspiring to dig up dirt on Donald Trump. Listen.
Okay, and so Buzova met with Trump in New York at some point after the 2013 Miss Universe.
Yes.
Pageant.
Well, there were pictures of naked Trump.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so Putin was made aware of the availability of the compromising material.
Yes, of course. Buzova shared those materials with Sobchak, and Sobchak shares those materials with Putin because she's a goddaughter of Putin, and Putin decided to press on Trump.
And the materials that you can provide to the committee or to the FBI, would they corroborate this allegation?
Sure, of course. When they were in Ukraine, we got their conversation by the phone where they discussed those compromising materials. We are ready to provide it to FBI.
So you have recordings of both Sobchak and Buzova where they're discussing the compromising material on Mr. Trump?
Absolutely.
Yeah, the compromising materials, pictures of naked Trump.
I like your Russian accent.
Pictures of naked Trump. Yeah. What is that? That sounds to me like they're colluding to dig up dirt with the Russians on Donald Trump. And the same people that claim outrage that Donald Trump said, hey, Russia, release what you got, when he was really just kidding.
Yeah. And as always, think about if the reverse of this happened. Think about if anyone even remotely related to the campaign. If there was a recording that sounded like this.
All right, Laura Trump, thank you.